Today on Real Radio.
We are children of God now. We've been saved. If you trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the proof of your trust in Him has led you to follow Him. Listen, everybody, that following Jesus is your worship.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at a section in chapter 11 where the apostle continues to be quite open and transparent. He also continues contrasting false teaching with the truth of God's Word. In fact, the passage contains the famous description of Satan disguising himself as an angel of light. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called Worship God with What You Are.
Worship God with what you are. Now, as you turn there, I hope you remember this. By way of introduction, we are now coming to the closing chapters of 2 Corinthians. I told you in the beginning of this epistle that all scholars throughout history agree that this is Paul the Apostle's most transparent, most emotional, tender epistle ever written. He shares things from his heart that some have even shared or said he should have kept private. Now, who are we to judge God, who's the author of the Bible? And this is one of those portions of Scripture where Paul shares things and we miss it. And I don't think we'll get it very well, even in our English, and we'll do the best we can with our English language. But Paul shared things in these verses, and he used words that display an extremely tender, emotional heart, powerfully. And you may not like that as we get into this. And I want all of you to hear me. I'm pausing for effect. You may not like the great apostle being so personal, because you're going to want to put him up on a pedestal. We like sometimes spiritual leaders to be enshrined in some place that is somewhat removed from us, because we like to almost make them godlike. And we live down here among the common people, but they live up there and ooh and ah. Paul was not like that. If Paul the Apostle walked in this building today, you'd be shocked at how approachable he was, at how personable he was. But listen, never compromising how committed he was to the doctrine of the Bible, to the Word of God. And he was an amazing man of God. And I want you to get this as we read through it. So look with me in verse 5. He says to them in Corinth, "For I consider that I am not at all inferior." I'm not somehow remedial. I'm not somehow a backwater apostle to the most eminent, to the most super apostles. "For even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things." Verse 7, "Did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted? Because I preached the gospel of God to you free of charge, I robbed other churches, taking wages or support that came to him from them to minister to you. And when I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one. For what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And in everything I kept myself from being burdensome to you. And so I will keep myself, as the truth of Christ is in me." Listen to his passion. "No one shall," that is, no one can, "no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Achaia." That is the whole, what we would say today, the nation of Greece. "Why? Because I do not love you? God knows." Verse 12, "But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, Listen to them. Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself, and this statement means they are in league with the devil. They're just like the father they follow in their religious practices, the devil himself, who transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing that his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. I could actually read that and go home right now. Is that not heavy? This is big stuff. This is serious business. When you and I listen, when you and I worship God, and that's why how I want to wrap this up throughout the entire delivery of it. In your notes, I want you to write this down. When we worship God, when we worship God, number one, we are Christians. What we are children. We are children of God now. We've been saved. If you trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the proof of your trust in Him has led you to follow Him. Listen, everybody, that following Jesus is your worship. Your worship that you sang a moment ago to the Lord, that was what the Bible calls a holy convocation. Convocation. It means that we've corporately come together, and the church has been doing this since the day of Pentecost to today, 2,000 years. We come together as God has decreed, and we have a corporate, that is, a full gathering of the church, and we worship God together. We're to keep doing that. But every day, in all that we do, we are to be worshipers of the Lord. And what we are worshipers. Paul the Apostle is a worshiper of God. And that's his focus. He's not a worshiper of people. He's a worshiper of God. And that dictates the personality, the vibe, the feel of his ministry. To please God is what he lived for. And it's my prayer that you, as a Christian, in following Jesus in worship, that you live to please God. Friends, listen, do not live your life as a Christian to please men, to gain man's approval, especially in religious things. That is idolatry, and it's an offense to God. It makes God sick. Don't be like that. And besides, you'll never please any man. People's requirements and desires change constantly. Never God. It's awesome. So listen, before we get into this study today, I want you to write this down if you would. It's Psalm 84, verse 1. Psalm 84, verse 1 and 2 says, "How lovely is your tabernacle or dwelling place, O Lord of hosts." Listen to this. I pray this is us. And I prayed this, by the way, for you. Don't tell anybody, but in my private prayer time this morning, I prayed this prayer for you and I. That our soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. That our heart and our flesh would cry out for the living God. Do you hear David's passion? That's the passion that's got to be in us. Let's be honest. Can I be blunt? If this is lacking in our lives, listen, if this is lacking in your life right now, don't start having a breakdown and cry and run out of the building in total despair. Ask God to change your heart. Ask God to change you. Listen, I'm asking God to change me. You go, "Pastor, I thought you loved the Lord." Listen, I don't love the Lord as much as I should love the Lord. When I tell Him I love Him, I feel like I'm lying. "Oh, Lord, I love you." And then I have to confess, I need to love you more. For all of your benefits, for all of your goodness, and for who you are, Lord, my love for you must be so mediocre, must be so pathetic. Oh, God, cause me to love you more. Can someone say amen? Amen. You looked at me like I startled you a second ago. Look, I'm talking about us. We don't love Him enough. We love Him, but we need to love Him more. And our heart should pound out of our chest with the desire to enter into His courts and to dwell in His presence, to have our hearts longing, even our flesh crying out to meet up with God. Number one, jot this down. Worship God with what you are means this, that the Christian is willing. Write that down. We are willing. Verses 5 and 6. The first thing we see is that there should be a willingness in all of us to trust God. Paul says, "For I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles." Why did he say this? Now look, you guys, mark this. This is amazing. Paul told them earlier, I will not boast in the things of my achievements. Now he's boasting. Why? They have forced him to do what he didn't want to do. Who has? The Corinthian church, you know, have been polluted by these self-proclaimed apostles. We'll end this message talking more about them. They had so attacked Paul that Paul now senses that he needs to speak up for the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. If you're going to boast, my friend, boast like that, that you have seen God work in your life. All the glory goes to God. Okay? By the way, can I say this? That people should be saying to you, oh, that was wonderful. Oh, that was great. They should be saying that to every one of us who name the name of Christ. But what we're to do is to deflect that praise quickly over to Jesus and say, hey, you know what? Praise the Lord. He uses knuckleheads, and to God be the glory. Right? So, listen, vitally important. There should be a willingness in our lives to trust the Lord, to trust God. And that's what Paul is saying. And it's a beautiful declaration of defense, but glory to God. He says, for I consider, this word consider is an amazing word. Paul says, for I've done the math. Watch this, everybody. This convicts me. Paul, that word consider, I have looked at my life since I got saved to this moment. I've done the math. You can see the little apostle doing the math. And you know what? Yeah, I got saved on this day, riding on that donkey, heading up to Damascus to kill Christians and arrest them. Got saved that day when I got knocked off that donkey. Jesus spoke to me. From that time on, what happened? Okay, I had a burden in my heart to preach the gospel. I saw people get saved. This miracle, I was involved in this thing. I saw this happen. I got beat up for Jesus. Right? Paul the Apostle's life. He makes a calculation and considers and comes to this conclusion. I am a child of God. He could roll up his sleeves and say, I have scars to prove it. Now, you and I may not have scars to prove that we're Christians, but in some ways, we could maybe show spiritual scars that we're Christians, or that we've been attacked or maligned or made fun of or mocked or whatever it may be. Paul is saying, I've done this. I've come to this conclusion. And this is what I know. And he speaks to these people and he says to them, to the Corinthians, I am not inferior. I'm no cut rate, discount apostle. Now, listen, has anyone attacked you for not being a Christian or being a pathetic Christian? Has anyone ever said to you, well, look at you? Look, some people can say that because you did mess up, and some people could say that because you didn't mess up. Some people could attack you because you did mess up, and some people attack you if you didn't mess up. All the more reason why you need to know yourself before the Lord. And this is one of the great things that we want to take away from this message, is our hearts as Christians are to always be willing. Always be willing. And so listen, don't answer me. Are you a Christian? Is your heart willing? Willing to trust God. So I want to just leave this with you. Why would you not trust God? The word you and I would use is, I'm afraid, I'm fearful. I don't know if it's going to work out. Then that's not trusting God. If we trust Him, we'll rely upon Him. God can do anything with a willing heart. You see, why are you saying this? Because you know what? We're all the same. We go like this. We see people. Look, I'll be honest with you. You guys all know Greg Laurie. Greg Laurie can open his mouth and people get saved. I'm sure he can go into a store and buy a carton of milk and lead 3 people to Christ. And when you hear the Bible say that we all need to do the work of an evangelist, you and I exclude ourselves in an instant because we're not like that. You and I are very, very quick to generate excuses as to why we shouldn't embark upon this commanded thing. Like, for example, love one another. And we think, well, I know I should love one another, but I think my love's pretty pathetic, so I'll let somebody else love that other person. We're quick to exclude ourselves. Are you willing Are you willing to lead someone to Christ? Are you willing to be a lover of others? Are you willing? Don't answer me. Are you willing? God knows. Are you willing? Then to trust him, you step out and obey him. Because Paul had every physical reason why to never show up. Ugly, short, bald-headed. We know from church history, remember, you guys already know this, he was very, very pathetic to look at. He was not a sight for sore eyes. It's somebody you wanted to completely avoid. His voice, we know from church history, was scratchy and hard to listen to. But he was mighty in writing. But man, when he showed up, they couldn't believe, are you the guy that wrote the book? No, you can't be. Well, it was. Willingness to trust God, meaning that God knows exactly why he called you. Are you not here right now? Are you not here on this Sunday? Can you not hear me? Are you not a Christian? Then all that being true, did God not know that he would have you as a believer in this moment of time? Then let's be bold. Let's be willing. And let's consider this, that we are not inferior to other Christians. God saved you. He wants to use you. It doesn't end when you leave these doors today. It just begins. You're only here right now for refueling. And then you go back out. There's very little that God requires of you and I, but this one thing God requires, and that is a willingness. Our willingness to obey and follow Jesus is what God's looking for. And I wrote a few things down, mainly for me, but if they apply to you, then awesome. How about this? God doesn't look for my ability. God doesn't look for my personality. God doesn't look for my maturity. God doesn't look for any network skills or fill in the blank. God wants me to be willing to follow Jesus. And that now is available to all of us. And then he says that I am not inferior. The word here means that I am not less than because I don't appear to be like. See, those other people that had come to town, the great orators that were undermining Paul, they were great in stature. They were probably beautiful people to look at. They were great orators. We already know this. They were profound, professional speakers. They were awesome. And Paul says, listen, I'm not like that. But the message I preach, the message I give is not inferior. Listen, this is so cool, and I run the risk of blowing it because it's so simple. Paul saw his identity in the quality of the gospel. If you think about that for a moment, your insecurities will begin to drift out of the window and blow away. Because we all have insecurities. If I packed you all up right now and took you down to the shops and turned you loose and said, okay, start sharing with people Jesus, you would instantly discover your insecurities. I'm not very good at speaking. I'm nervous. All these excuses, right? But when you begin to see, hey, it ain't about me. It ain't me. My Bible says God the Holy Spirit empowers who he uses at his discretion to proclaim the word of God. So how do you want to feel big and strong? How do you want to be? Why am I talking? I'm trying to do my Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, it's... Do you want to be the evangelator? It's terrifying in the flesh, no doubt about it. But if you give the gospel, you'll see the power of God at work. Be willing. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:25, for the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Isn't that great? And the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble blue bloods are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are mighty. That's the definition of the Christian. How do you feel about that? It's honest. All of a sudden, we all qualify. There's no excuse as long as I'm willing and trusting in God. This is what the Christian life is all about. Isaiah, awesome. I love this. In fact, this was the first Sunday morning message I ever preached in my life was from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Isaiah 6, verse 8 says, I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? And then I, that is Isaiah, said, here I am, send me. And God said, go. He was willing. That's all. He was willing. And let's be willing to trust him. Secondly, look at verse 6, a willingness to give to God. To give to God. Every Christian is commanded to give to God. You say, I don't have any money. God doesn't want your money. He wants your life. Did you say wife? No, your life, not your wife. He wants your life. I'll give him my wife. No, he wants your life. Well, I'll give this to Jesus. No, keep it. Unless you can put your life in that nickel or in that basket or in that effort, he doesn't want it. He wants your life. A willingness to give to God. He says, for even though I am untrained in speech, oh, this is awesome. Yet I am not in knowledge. Oh, this is great. Our willingness, listen, our willingness now, we know, Christian, listen. Our willingness is manifested every time you and I pray. Do you pray? Do you pray? Lord, have you ever said, Lord, I want, Lord, I need, Lord, help me. Dear Jesus. Willingness makes request of God. It's a healthy thing. It's a beautiful thing. And the Bible tells us in Romans 6:19, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh, says Paul to the Romans, to the Italians. For just as you presented your members, that is your body, as slaves to uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness. This is your BC days. You know your BC days, before Christ days? Didn't you listen? You didn't hold back in your BC days. Please don't raise your hand. But were you a drunk? Were you a womanizer? Were you a manizer? Were you a Budweiser? What were you? Isn't it interesting how you were enslaved to that world, and you not only were enslaved to it, you heaped up lawlessness upon lawlessness, slavery upon slavery to it. You invested yourself into that slavery. That's what he's saying. But look what he goes on to say. So now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. You see, why would I do that? Because number one, listen, as a Christian today, you hear that and you go, that makes sense. I know what that means. Maybe you're not a Christian today and you go, why would I do that? There's no fun in that. How do you know there's no fun in that? Let me tell you something. You think you're free? Look, we all know in this room. We've all been there in this room, predominantly all of us. There's maybe one of you that doesn't know what I'm talking about right now. But most of us came out of the world. We weren't raised in Christian homes.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called Worship God with What You Are. It's a lesson taken from a section in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Worship God with What You Are. Part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse series through this New Testament letter, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, have you signed up for Pastor Jack's weekly devotionals? They're called Real Life Devotions. You get a new Real Life Devotion in your inbox every Monday. Subscribers to Real Life Devotions really appreciate them. How do we know? Well, they're sending us messages from all over, like this one. Pastor Jack, I'm always blessed by reading these Real Life Devotions as well as listening to Real Radio, but lately, the station that I've been listening to has been experiencing some technical issues, so I decided to download the Real Life app on my smartphone. Of course, Real Radio doesn't take the place of my own time in His Word and on my face seeking His face, but it does increase my faith and gives me more hope for praying and sharing to others the peace of God and the joy and hope that you can't find anywhere in this world. Thank you again. That comes from Rick in Ohio. Thank you so much, Rick. Subscribe to Pastor Jack's Real Life Devotions. Visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. If you got to get in touch with us by phone, that's easy. 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.